Good evening and welcome to our midweek Bible study. This evening we are finishing our study through the book of 2 John. Now, if you've been following this study over the last couple of months, thank you. And I trust it's been an encouragement and a help to you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to consider the last two verses of the epistle in this lesson. And although they contain some personal sentiments from John to the elect lady and a final greeting, there are some things for us to ponder that I'm sure will be a blessing. To begin with, I want to read the whole letter one last time. So please follow along as I read these precious words of Holy Scripture. 2 John, beginning at verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. The last two verses of 2 John are a fitting text to conclude a study that has been conducted during a pandemic in which restrictions have been imposed on in-person gatherings. Ordinarily, I wouldn't be speaking to you via a screen. Rather, we would be meeting together on a Wednesday evening for a time of prayer and then for a time of Bible study. I could see your smiling faces and look forward to any questions you might have and the discussion that would normally follow. We know what John was talking about at the end of this letter. We understand John's desire to commune with his friend in person. We understand something of the joy he knew he and his friend would experience when they were able to speak to each other face to face. We know that because that's something that we have missed. Now, thankfully, our restrictions have eased enough for us to meet for a worship service on the Lord's Day and for us to meet in smaller groups in people's homes, but we're not yet able to commune with each other like we could before the pandemic. And there were a couple of months when we couldn't meet at all. We miss that fellowship time, that family time, as it were, on the Lord's Day. It's been a difficult year. We hope that very soon our life together will get back to normal. Now, in our study, we've covered the main points of this epistle. We've seen who it was addressed to. We've seen why the Apostle John wrote it, the situation that he was seeking to address. And we've seen what he wanted his original readers to do. We've seen how that applies to us. I'm not going to review any of that with you this evening. If you missed some of those previous lessons or would like to listen or watch again, they're easy enough to find at our YouTube channel. They're in a playlist called Truth and Love. And you can also find them at our website, lismorebiblechurch.org. All we're going to concentrate on now are the two closing verses, which I'll read again. Verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Evidently, John had more that he wanted to say to his friend. We don't know what it was. Perhaps he had more to say about the false teachers who were a pressing threat to the Christian community. Maybe he wanted to say more about truth and love, which are the themes of this letter. Or maybe there were other areas of the Christian life that he wanted to address. Or maybe he just wanted to talk about what he'd been up to. Share with his friend about his family and his ministry and his travels and the challenges he was facing, the kind of things we talk about with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For some reason, John didn't want to write these things in a letter. He much preferred to come to where this lady was and speak with her in person. I also wonder if he wanted to keep this letter brief so he could get it in the post and to his friend as quick as possible, so he could address the immediate situation in a timely fashion. Maybe John understood that one can communicate a message more effectively when the message is brief and direct, instead of having to wade through paragraphs and paragraphs of text. This little letter was sure to get the message across. Whatever John's particular reasons were, I think we understand the overall sentiment. Even today, with the ability to communicate instantly, we still recognise the benefit of speaking to people in person. And we understand that text messaging and emailing, FaceTime and Zoom can't replace being in the same room with a person. I remember the first time I was involved in a Zoom meeting during the lockdown, and instead of lifting my spirits, it made me feel worse, because it only served to reinforce the distance, the fact that we weren't together and couldn't be. Nothing can replace being with other people in the flesh. And we also recognise that some things shouldn't be sent in a text message or in an email. At the very least, they should be said verbally over the phone if there isn't the opportunity to meet in person. We understand the sentiment in this verse. But that said, aren't you glad that John did write a letter? And other ones as well. Aren't you glad that Paul wrote letters, and Peter too? Aren't you glad that they didn't conduct all of their apostolic communication in person? If they did, there would be massive gaps in our Bible, in God's revelation of himself and his way of salvation. One author expresses it this way: but what would we have done without a permanent record contained in the letters of the apostles? Writing has an abiding value which conversation and oral ministry have not, however excellent these are at the time. We thank God for the inspired scriptures. John also understood the joy there is in Christian fellowship. Notice the end of the verse. He says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The Christian life is not a solitary one. It's not me, my Bible, and Jesus. It's me, my Bible, my fellow disciples, my brothers and sisters, and Jesus. The Christian life is life in a community. It's life in a family. That is the unmistakable message of the New Testament. And our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, ministers to us through our relationships with one another. as we welcome one another and care for one another and use our gifts to build each other up. But more than that, we have a bond. There are things we share, the most important things in life and in eternity, and this bond brings us together. It causes us to be interested in each other's lives and find real joy in being together. We have the same hope, the same outlook on life, the same values and priorities, the same aspirations, the same motives, and yes, we have the same struggles, shared experience. We can be ourselves when we're together and know that we are loved. It's interesting thinking about this word full at the end of the verse. I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Now, there was a measure of joy for John and for the elect lady in thinking about each other and praying for each other and corresponding at a distance. But there would be a greater joy, a fullness of joy in actually having fellowship with each other in person. I was thinking about our relationships in this year, the year of COVID. We have been able to experience some joy by talking to each other on the phone, by corresponding via email and text message, or by gathering on Zoom. But it's only a partial joy, isn't it? It's limited. But when we've been able to get together and have fellowship in person, we've experienced a greater joy. Our joy has been full. Again, I think we understand what John was talking about. Now, after speaking of his plans to come and visit, John concludes the letter by passing on a greeting. Verse 13, "The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." Obviously, the lady to whom John was writing had a sister, and she too was a Christian. She had been chosen by God. That's what the word elect tells us. And her children were there with John, probably in the church at Ephesus where he was based. Now, these children must have known that John was writing this letter and they wanted to greet their aunt. And John was happy to pass on the message. Notice that it's the children of thy elect sister, not the lady herself. This suggests that either this sister was elsewhere or that she was no longer alive, and perhaps these were older children, grown-ups. Whatever the case, this little greeting at the end speaks to something that we've already noted in our study, and that is the warmth of this letter and the loving heart of the man who penned it. And this was the great Apostle John, you know, one of Jesus' closest disciples, one of the men who was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, the man who would go on to pen the majestic and awe-inspiring book of Revelation. And yet here, he takes the time to write to a dear friend who needed some encouragement and some instruction. He took the time to pass on a greeting from her nephews and nieces. I think this reminds us that godly leadership always has time for ordinary people. That's what we see in the ministry of Jesus, don't we? A genuine Christian leader never sees himself as being above this kind of personal ministry. He never sees himself as being too important to interact with everyday people and show an interest in their lives. This is a lesson for me in this final verse. And for you, if you exercise a leadership ministry in the church, you must have time for people, to talk to them, to get to know them, to care for them personally. Yes, they need your teaching and your preaching, but they also need your loving kindness. They need your fellowship. And I think this is something we can all take away from the final two verses of this epistle that we've been studying. We've been reminded of the importance of fellowship, of being together, of interacting with each other in person. I realise it's been a difficult and disrupted year in this regard. But brothers and sisters, let's value the opportunities that we do have. Let's remember that people need our love and our care and our gifts, and we need theirs. And this screen that you're looking at is not a replacement. It was the poet and priest John Donne who said that no man is an island. And this is especially true for those who know the Lord. No Christian is an island. The Lord made us that way. So let's take the opportunities that we have to gather and have fellowship, and by God's grace, may we experience fullness of joy. And that brings us then to the end of our study. We've considered all 13 verses of 2 John. Thank you for joining me. It's been wonderful to dig into this little epistle that doesn't get a lot of attention. I look forward to studying more with you in the new year. And God willing, we'll be able to do that in person. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you. Amen.